Good morning, church.
Good morning.
The morning scripture will be coming from Hebrews. It's the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and the verses 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. May the Lord have a blessing in the reading and the hearers of his word.
Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We live in a society today where they say, if I can't see it, I'm not going to believe it. Had a man come to me, true story, he said, how can you believe in something you can't see? How can you believe in God? You can't see him. I asked him a few questions. I said, well, listen, do you believe in love? How does it look? Can you see? You believe in gravity? Jump out the window. We'll see. Do you believe in it? We'll see if it's real. You can't see it. Do you believe in Wi-Fi? You can't see Wi-Fi, but you know it exists. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it don't exist. See, title of this sermon, we have to use the eyes of faith. Faith is the substance. It's not tangible. It's not a book. It's the substance. It's something. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the substance of our desire, expectation. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. Faith is evidence of things not seen. Now, Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. The invisible things of God. The invisible things of God we can see by the things that are made. Let me give you an example. When I go outside and I see a tree, I see God. I'll tell you why. On that tree, they have fruits. Those fruits have seeds in it. Inside the seeds, when they go in the ground, it will grow into a tree that will have fruits on it. Inside the fruit will be seeds that will go into a tree that will have fruits on it. It'll be a tree that will have seeds in it. They're going to the ground, they will have fruits in it. It keeps happening over and over and over again. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 29. God said it. I believe it. He created it. Matter of fact, when I look at a newborn baby, I see God. That newborn baby is the seed of a man. When that baby grows into a man, that man will have seeds in him. When it is planted in good ground, it grows and we'll see the fruit of it. That fruit will go into a man that will have seeds in him that will grow. His seeds will be planted in good ground. God says, with his word, the seed of everything is in itself. You look in the ocean, it's in there. You see it all over again, the seed principle. When you look in the sky, the birds, when you look on the water bank, you see the little ducks, they lined up. It's everywhere. I can see God when I see the things that are made. But you have to have the eyes of faith. Now, how does faith come? Like I said, I read these things, Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by the word of God. Now, scientists, they don't know anything about the word of God, so they say, well, look, the earth is flat. That's what I believe in my statistics. And, well, Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 22. The scripture said God sits on the circle of the earth. God said it's a circle. So who are you going to believe? I believe God. He made it. See, but scientists come up with these Big Bang theories and all these things, but it's nothing new. In Genesis chapter 11, verse number 9, these men built a tower called Babel. And it was called Babel because the Lord confounded all the languages of the earth and did there scattered them abroad all upon the face of the earth. Man, from the beginning of time, always wanted to go outside himself and explore God. Always wanted to. As a matter of fact, man will believe a lie before they'll believe God. As a matter of fact, Eve in the garden, she believed Satan before she believed God. God said, do not touch it. She believed Satan. She touched it. See, man choose not to believe God. It's a choice. You have to have the eyes of faith. Let's read Hebrews, since we're in that area, chapter 11, verse number 3. Hebrews 11, verse number 3. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That destroys the evolution theory. They say, well, we came from monkeys. Well, we came from monkeys. Can someone show me a man that's half monkey, half man on his way to be a man? Can anybody point that out to me? But the world's never seen it, but they believe it. But they say, well, I can't believe nothing. I can't see. You believe that? Show me a man that's half monkey, half man. You got a point. If you can't show me, why you believe it? Because it's hogwash. That's why. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, faith requires action. Faith requires action. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen yet, he moved. As a matter of fact, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Let's look a little closer at that. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Let's look a little closer at that. Now, Genesis 6, 5. And God saw that the wickedness of the earth, wicked of man, was great in the earth, and that every thought and imagination of his heart was only evil continuously. And it grieved God that he has made man of the earth. It repented him. Out of all the creations, you got the monkeys, the ugly squirrels, and all of the possums and all the ugly things. Man is the only one God created that he hated he made. Out of all his creations, man is the only one he hated he made. It grieved him at his heart. So he said, I'm going to destroy. The Lord said, I'm going to destroy man whom I created from the face of the earth. Both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, everything. It repented me that I have made them. Now Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, Noah found grace. You know, Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, by grace you're saved. That's what the denomination world say. You ain't got to do nothing, Noah. By grace, Noah saved, so he'll be good, right? We can close the book up. We're done. By grace, Noah is saved. Is that true? No. By grace, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse number 9, these are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man. He was perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God, so that's why he had a relationship with God. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7, if you walk in the light as God is in the light, y'all have fellowship one with another. So he walked with God. So he's saved by grace? Is he? Okay, let's keep reading. Let's pick up with verse number 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. Hold on, God. Like if I'm Noah, end of all flesh, I'm flesh. Hold on now. We walk together. I'm founding your grace. End of all flesh. Even myself? What did I do? End of all flesh. It's come before me, and the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them. So I we'll be destroyed? That's what we get when we say he moved with fear. Nor you want to be saved? See, grace and faith has instructions. It always have instructions. By grace, you know, you have to have faith. And when you have faith, faith without works is dead. What are the instructions, Lord? Make thee an ark of gopher wood. I have to make me an ark, and I am found grace in your sight, Lord, so why do I have to do anything? According to the denominational world, you ain't got to do nothing. Just sit there. Jesus will nudge you. He'll come into your heart. You ain't got to do nothing. By grace you saved, they say. That's not true according to the Bible. The scripture says you got to do something. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make it. Make thou an ark. Pitch it in. Pitch it out. Now this is something you got to pick up on. We got to underline this. And this is the fashion. See, faith comes with fashion. It comes with a pattern. See, this is the way. These are the instructions to do it. Okay, what I got to do? Okay. You shall make it this high, this long, 300 cubits. This wide, 50 cubits. The height of it, 30. You got to do it exactly in minute detail the way I tell you to do it. You have to work and you got to do it my way. That's faith. Faith requires action. So he made that ark. That word in the Hebrew is tavah. Now, this word ark don't mean boat like we think it does. It literally means a box. Make you a box. Don't put no steering wheel in there. Don't put no motor in there. You don't know where you're going. Just sit in that box. Just go in that box and stand still. See, sometimes we go through life, we all trying to fumble, we struggling and strain. Listen, stand still. That's all you got to do, and you will see the salvation of the Lord. That was Moses told in Exodus, told the people when they went to the Red Sea, stand still. You ain't got to do all that fumbling around and jumping and hooting and hollering. When you are in the box, though, when you are in that box, God takes control. Now, as we read here, it came with a fashion. It came with instructions. He had to follow his grace saving, but he still had to work. So he had work to do. But one thing you have to realize, there was only one ark. Now think about it. The whole world is destroyed. It's a big flood covering the mountains. And you got a little box that's moving around. Just a little box. Noah and his eight souls were saved in that little box. It was just one, though. It was just one box. It's all one box. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 2. See, faith has instructions. Grace comes with instructions. You can't just say, I'm saved by grace. It's work you got to do. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 2. Now, as we go there, we must understand that God had saved his children Israel by mighty wonders and signs from out of Egypt. And they went through the Red Sea. They was getting ready to encamp upon Jericho. But when they sent 12 spies over there, 10 came back with an evil report. Only 2 had a good report. They had to wander in the wilderness for 38 years. They wandered for 38 years in the wilderness. Now, when we get to chapter 1, God tells Moses, my servant is dead. But he told him, be of good courage. As I have promised them the land, I'll give it to you. So he's become the new leader. In verse number 2, let's pick up and read. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out to Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and they came into the prostitute's house. Her name was Rahab. And they lodged there. And the king found out about it. So he ran and ran and see what's going on, but she hid the men. So, verse number 8. Let's drop down verse number 8. And before they were laid down, she came up to upon the roof and said unto the man, I know that the Lord has given you the land. Hold up now, Rahab. You're not of the children of Israel. Where do you get this faith from? You got faith? I know. How do you know? How do you know about all this? I know that the Lord has given you the land of Jericho, getting ready to encamp us, and that your terror is falling upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. They're fearful because of you. For we have heard. See, faith comes by hearing. We heard. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. See, hearing what? The word of God. We have heard. What y'all hear? That the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you. When you come out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites. See, she said, we have heard. Verse number 11. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any courage in any man. Now, she said, we have heard. Let's keep on reading. Verse number 12. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord. Since I have showed you kindness, I hid y'all, that ye would also show kindness unto me and to my father's house and give a true token, and that ye will save alive my father, my mother, my brother, my sister. You will save us, being that I saved y'all. And all that we have, and deliver our lives from death. And the man said unto her, our life for your life. If ye utter not this business, and it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, we will deal kindly and truly with you. And she let them down by a cord out the window, for her house was upon a tall wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And then she warned them to get out. And the man said unto her, verse number 17, we will be blameless of this oath which thou hast sworn unto us. So, I guess by grace she saved. She ain't got to do nothing. They said, yeah, we got you. Don't worry about it. We come back. We're not going to destroy you. They had grace upon her. She ain't got to do a thing, right? That's what the denominational world say. That's what they say in Calvinism, which is the fundamental principle doctrine of all denominations, Pentecostal, Apostolic, all of them. Calvinism is the top doctrine that they use. She ain't had to do nothing. By grace, she is saved. Well, let's keep reading. Behold, that's a strong word right there. Behold, verse number 18, when we come into the land, we better take this scarlet rope. Throw it out the window. This scarlet rope out the window. And let it down. And bring your father, your mother, your brother, and all the your father's house home unto this house right here. And it shall be that whosoever shall go outside the doors of this house instead into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. And we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head. We're responsible for him, if any man shall put a hand upon him. Now, listen to me. Faith requires action. She had to do something. You can't just sit there in terror for the spirit and think something's going to happen. She had to do something. The Holy Spirit wasn't going to nudge her or something like that. No, no, no. Faith requires action. Throw that rope now. If that rope ain't out the window, we're going to tear everything in here up. Listen, when they came through, we know the story. They're going around the wall of Jericho and all of the houses were destroyed. Except one. Oh, there go that one again. Are you in the house? Now that's spiritually speaking. It was only one. One house. They go to their house again. Now, how many houses thought they was going to be? They had probably bodyguards at the door. They were destroyed. Why? Because she obeyed the rules associated with faith. She didn't just sit there. There was one house. Faith without works is dead. James 2:17. Now, the gospel has a fashion, like Noah. Make it according to this fashion, like he told Moses. Make it according to this pattern. The gospel has a pattern. The gospel has a fashion. Let's turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. The gospel has a fashion. You can't just nudge and wait on it. No. You have to do something. Faith requires action. Acts chapter 9, verse number 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughtering and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, he went unto the high priest, and he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, any other way of Christ, whether they be men or women, he might bring, so he was treacherous. Men or women, he might bind them unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined a light around about him. He fell on the earth, and he heard a voice. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou? Lord? Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the priest. And he trembled and astonished and said, Lord, what will you have me to do?
Oh, you ain't got to do nothing. By grace you're saved. You spoke to the Holy Spirit, right? He nudged you. You ain't got to do nothing. That's what the denominational world say. You don't got to do nothing, Paul. Just tarry for the Spirit.
You don't got to do nothing. That's what Calvinism say. And the men which journeyed with him, they heard, they journeyed with him, stood speechless. They heard a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth with his eyes. They were open, but he was blind. He saw no man. He was blind. So he was blind. Men led him. They led him to Damascus. Now listen to this. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat or drink. So he started fasting, and he was praying. That's all you got to do to be saved, right? They say fast and pray. Sit on the mourner's bench. Sit. That's what they say. You ain't got to do nothing. Just sit on the mourner's bench. And let me point out another thing. A man named Joseph Smith, started the Mormons. He said an angel appeared to him. And it gave him this idea about the Mormon church. So you mean tell me Jesus sent a man, Ananias, for Paul, the apostle. But for this man to live in the 19th century, you're going to send an angel? Galatians chapter 1, verse number 6. If a man or an angel, anybody preach anything other than what you have read, let him be accursed. He sent a man. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, I want y'all to go ye out into the world, baptize all every nation in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All nations. He sent men. See, it's a pattern. It's a fashion. It's a fashion. It has instructions. You can't just do what you want to do. Let's keep reading. Verse number 17. And Ananias went his way, entered into the house, put his hand on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, he sent me that thou may receive with thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay, so now he got the Holy Spirit. Is he saved? He got the Holy Spirit. That's all you need. You tarry for the Holy Spirit. That's all you need. So he left and he went on by his business. He was saved, went away rejoicing. Is that what it say? No, let's keep reading. And immediately there fell from his eyes as if it had been scales, and he received sight and he went home. Is that what it say? It don't say that, do it. What did it say? He went home? No, it said he arose. He didn't tarry for the Spirit. The Spirit already came, right? Well, what you sitting down for? He rose up and he had to do something. He was baptized. That's according to Scripture. That's the pattern. That's the fashion for salvation when it comes to the gospel. He was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Ghost. Matthew 28:19. That's what Jesus said, dude. Now, they say you don't have to be baptized. Have you heard that? You don't got to be baptized. It's not essential for salvation. That's what they say. It's not essential for salvation. It's an outward sign of inward grace. Okay. Well, 3,000 souls were baptized in Acts chapter 2. 3,000 souls. They said, what must we do to be saved? He said, repent and be baptized. He didn't say tarry for no spirit. He didn't say wait for no nudge. He didn't say jump up and down, hooting and hollering and run all around and see what happens when the spirit is entering your heart. None of that. He said, arise and be baptized. That's the standard. That's the pattern. That's the fashion for salvation. As a matter of fact, the Ethiopian eunuch, he said, see, here is water after the gospel was preached unto him. What's hindering me to be baptized? Acts 8:36. As a matter of fact, when Peter was in the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse number 44, when he was preaching the gospel, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which had heard the word, and as many as are with him, there were other circumcision, were astonished. Why were they astonished? Because the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they were saved. Is that what it is? Is that what it say? The Holy Ghost in the building. Everybody jumping around with the Holy Ghost. Peter said, hold on, hold. Y'all settle down. Can any man forbid water? Hold on now, some water got to get in the plant. Yes, sir. I heard a man say, God was never in a dry cleaning business. Water got to get in the plant. Hold up. Holy Spirit, y'all settle down. Can any man forbid water? Then you cannot be saved. They say in the denomination world, you don't need water. They say, you don't need no water. What you need water for? It's just an outward sign of something they're saying. He said, can any man forbid water? And he commanded them to be baptized. It wasn't no that he offered. He commanded them. It's a standard. It's a fashion. It's a pattern for salvation. As a matter of fact, Acts chapter 2, verse number 37, when they was baptized, verse number 47, they was baptized into the church. Once they were baptized, they were added to the church, Acts 2:47. That's scripture. They were added to that church. They were added to the church. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, because sometimes I'll quote someone, then they'll say, he said it. Now, I don't want you to think I said anything. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 21. Like that man said that, no. 1 Peter 3:21, verse number 20. Which sometimes when they're disobedient, when the Lord, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, 120 years, while the ark was being prepared, wherein a few, there is 8 souls, were saved by water. The life figure, whereunto even baptism does also now saves us. That's scripture. Where is the argument? Baptism saves us, not washing off the filth of the flesh or outward sign of grace or none of that. It's the answer of a good conscience, knowing that you did the will of God according to the standard, according to the fashion, according to the pattern. You did it for the right reason to have a good conscience toward God. Is there an argument about that? That's what the scriptures say, not me. That's what, okay, let's say this, okay. As a matter of fact, this ark, that little boat, where God destroyed the whole world, that little box that was floating around, they were saved. That church that they were added into, today that's that box. It was only one. It was only one box. Could you imagine? Everybody probably like, oh, Noah, I think he's something. I'm going to build me a bigger box. Like men do today. You look up and down the street, it's all kind of boxes. It was only one. Why is it so strange when a man say, I'm a member of the Church of Christ, the only one I can read about in the Bible? Is that strange? How is that strange? If you, are you, faith come by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So if you know and hear the word of God, it's not strange. As a matter of fact, let me show you something else. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I will quote it, but I'm not. Because sometimes I realize a guy told me, you said that. I said, I ain't say that. The Bible said it. So let's read what it says. These things write unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly. But if I tarry long, if I take a long time, if I tarry long, that thou may know it, how thou oughtest to obey thyself in the house. Now let's stop right there. Remember Rahab? When they destroyed everything, that one house is the only one that was saved. Know that thou oughtest to obey thyself in the house of God, which is what? Which is what? The church. So how many boxes you see? How many churches? How many houses you see in that scripture? Where is the argument? Like, where is it? Why we gotta fight and argue and pull teeth? We could just share the scriptures right there for the salvation of your soul. The house of God. Know how thou ought to obey thyself in the house of God, which is the church of God. It's only one. That's what it says right there. Like I said, if it was something else, I can say something else. But it says that. I got to stick to what the Bible speaks. That's the pattern. How could you not see that? See, you have to have the eyes of faith. The eyes of faith. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you outside of that house? Are you outside of that box? Because you know God is coming back. Jesus and flaming fire and taking vengeance. It ain't going to be water. It's going to be fire next time. You better be in that box. Or you better be in that house. It's plain and simple. Now, let me share this with you. When you close the eyes of faith, after they were once open, you will be just like Paul. You will become blind and other men will lead you. See, when the blind lead the blind, you're going to fall into a ditch. You become blind just like Paul was and other men will lead you. Turn with me to Jude chapter 3. Don't let nobody lead you to your destruction. You will become blind and they'll lead you. I promise you that. Jude chapter 1, verse number 3. Beloved, when I have gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, the only one, the one we got in common, it's the only one that's one. Ain't no whole lot of salvations. Titus 2:11. The common salvation. It was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that ye so earnestly contend for the faith. So that's not just a belief or nothing. The faith, it has a little bit more on it. The faith. So that's more than just a belief. It's a system. It's a pattern. It's a standard. The faith. Okay. Which was once delivered. So Joseph Smith, I'm sorry, man, but it was the salvation was once delivered. Who else? Joe, all the other ones that brought a congregation or whatever, a church that they brought. I'm sorry, but I can only read one. Apostolic or Presbyterian and all. I don't see them in here. It was only one. And you guys use the same Bible we use. So where you get that from? Oh, you want to create another creed book. Oh, okay. You want to create another doctrine. The one that in Galatians chapter 1, verse number 6, where he said, it's a curse. As a matter of fact, turn with me. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2. Verse number 1. But there were false prophets also among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable doctrines, heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring unto themselves swift destruction. And what it say? And many, you look up down the street, it's many that will follow them. Look, how many souls were saved? 8. There's only a few out of the whole world. Yeah, many will follow their pernicious ways. by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And check this out. And through covetousness and with fine or deceitful words, they'll make merchandise of you. They'll take all your money. Make merchandise of you. Look, I heard a man say, I'm trying to get me a new jet. Creflo Dollar, I think that's his name. They making merchandises of you. See, we're trying to save you some money. Like, yeah. They making merchandise of you. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumber not. Listen, if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down into hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but save Noah in that little box, a preacher of righteousness, bringing into the flood unto the world, bringing in the flood unto the world of ungodly, and turn the cities. Listen, God will not spare you if you don't obey his gospel. He won't spare you. Like, this is truth. If it was something else, I would say it. I'm reading only the scriptures. This is truth. He will not spare you. Point number two, when you take your eyes, close the eyes of faith. When you close the eyes of faith, you'll be like Israel. Remember when Moses went up to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments? They stayed down below. They were like, he's taking too long. See, when you think that Jesus is taking too long to come back, sometimes if you close your eyes of faith, you'll do like what they did. What did they do? Well, they went and took some gold and they made an altar. See, when you take your eyes of faith and you cover them up, you'll begin to serve God. You'll begin to serve the things around you just like they did. You'll begin to serve and come to worship and don't even get none out of it. You'll begin to serve your money, all the things that you work for and thinking that's the best thing out of life. I'm going to go hard at it. Yeah, I'm going to get all this money. You'll begin to serve other gods and idols just like they did. You'll begin to serve social clubs, fraternities, and fraternities, and whatever you call them. You'll begin to serve boats, automobiles, houses. I know this one guy, he served his football team. I went over his house, he had a shrine. He said, don't go in there. That's the Lions den. You won't go in there. I said, I'm going there. You'll begin to paint yourself and serve your team. You'll go to the game. Look, when you take the eyes of faith, you cover them up, you'll begin to serve things around you. You got to have your eyes of faith. You got to have them open. See, some of us, just like Paul was, them scales. You know, we've been here a long time in the faith. We're getting bored and scales start to go over top of them. Don't let the scales grow over your eyes of faith. Just like Abraham. See, when you let the scales come and you cover your eyes of faith, just like Abraham, when they said, oh, I think God taking too long. Sarah went and got her handmaid. He had a son. His name was Ishmael. Ishmael was the father of the Muslim religion. That one mistake caused Christianity to suffer tremendously because of Muslims killing Christians and all that going on. All they had to do was wait on the Lord. But they had their eyes of faith covered. They want to do it on their own. See, when you try to do and live life on your own, that's when the hurt come in. The troubles, the stress, now you're all stressed out trying to do it on your own. Do it according to the pattern. See, when you do it on your own, that's when you get wounds and stabbed and the world come at you and devil come to you and sift you like flour. That's what the scripture said. Jesus told him, Peter, the devil want to sift you like flour. The world begin to shake the life out of you when you want to do it on your own. You got to keep your eyes of faith open. You got to have them eyes of faith open. Well, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Do you believe that? You have to have faith to believe that. Faith, like we said, come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. You remember when Rahab, she heard, she said, I heard what happened. and my heart melted within me.
See, when you hear the word, it should cause you to prick your heart. Like, remember in Acts chapter 2, their heart was pricked. She said, my heart melted. When you hear the word of God, you should have godly sorrow for your life that you live in. You having the godly sorrow because godly sorrow worketh repentance. You hear it? You believe it? Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Do you have any godly sorrow this morning? It worketh repentance. To change, if you're in the denomination, to change your stands in that falsehood. Say, I want to go according to the scriptures. Look, we have this book. I want to really open it up because faith comes by hearing this. If you are in the denomination, you better repent. You don't want to be in that flood of fire. While the church is up here, you burning in the fire. You don't want to be down there with the other boxes. You want to be in that one house like Rahab was in. Rahab was saved. She was a prostitute, right? But if you read the latter end of Hebrews chapter 11, she was a part of the righteous. By faith, she was saved. Do you have any faith? What must we do? Like I said, Rahab heard. It burnt, it melted her heart. She had godly sorrow. She said, what can I do to be saved from the destruction? She was willing to repent to help these men out. Are you able to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you able to confess that I believe in the one true church? Are you able to say, you know what? I believe in the Bible. And you can come down today and make it known before this audience. Look, I did. I wasn't ashamed. Look, I didn't want to be on the bottom of them boxes all down there burning up. I didn't want to be in that house when Joshua and the camp of Israel came in. I didn't want to be down there. I wanted to be in the church. You can be baptized today. And the scales can fall from your eyes, just like they did when Paul. The scales fell. And you'll be able to see clearly. You'll be able to see with the eyes of faith. Come now while together we stand and sing.
To Canaan land.